Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 217, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. And what follows? Psalter 217, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter, the verses 36 through 50. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 7, beginning with verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and that wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou wast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when on the Sabbath day Thou hast gathered us and our children by renewal together within the walls of Thy house of prayer, and we attempt as a people with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto Thee, then how necessary the prayer of the disciples of old, Lord, teach us to pray. The psalmist of old has declared, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. Ah, Lord, may it please Thee in this very moment to be a prayer giving, a prayer hearing, and a prayer answering God. Grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and also of thanksgiving. Wilt Thou be our praying and thanking High Priest at the right hand of the Father? Ah, Lord, Thou knowest how dependent we are upon Thee for everything. May it please Thee to grant a true, a solemn impression of unto whom we draw nigh, where Thou art high, lifted up, clothed with honor and majesty, that Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil. Thou canst not look on iniquity, and also an impression who we are, and that is poor sinners. But, Lord, we have heard out of Thy holy word that there was a woman who was a sinner and who was come unto Thee, who was given to bestow that ointment upon Thee on account of that love. And then she has heard those blessed words that her sins were forgiven. Lord, may we be given to examine each and every one of us how it is with our sins, whether they are still in our account, if they have not been pardoned, then also the sins of this very day, they have been added unto our account. And Thou hast written in Thy holy word, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Lord, we humbly beg of Thee that it may please Thee to bless Thy word by the application of Thy Holy Spirit. Thou hast declared in Thy holy word that by the foolishness of preaching that some shall be saved. May that take place in this very hour. Boys and girls, our youth, the middle age, the elderly ones, we all need to be born again. We need to become a sinner that may be washed in the precious blood of Thy dear Son. Lord, leave us not lie in our lost condition, because then we are forever lost, and what shall it be? Under such a precious proclamation, to have to go lost forever and ever. But thou was promised that by the proclamation of thy word, that thou shalt gather thy church. Thou was not promised to work in the places of vanity and in the places of wickedness, but thou was especially promised to work in thy house where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Thou was promised that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations, Lord. We live in such a serious and such a solemn time. Thy judgments are hanging low over us, but the King is still gathering a church. May it please thee to grant a rich ingathering. Wilt thou do it in this evening hour? Wilt thou begin that good work? Wilt thou lead further? Wilt thou grant that advent need, that expectation, and those exercises? But may it please thee to also give a fulfillment. Then there shall be rejoicing in thee. Then thy name shall be glorified. Thou was promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands. Wilt thou bless the manifold labors in the church? Wilt thou remember and help the consistory who is sufficient unto these things? Remember on the Sabbath day. Remember during the week. Bless the instruction to our youth in the catechism classes. Remember the confession of faith class. Wilt thou remember the consistory when they hope to meet this week? Wilt thou gather with us? And also the male members meeting. May thy presence be experienced. Wilt thou graciously provide for all our needs, and that it may be for the welfare of thy Zion, may the prayers be multiplied to that end. Bless the labors in the family circles. Remember our Christian school. Grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou help and remember all those that labor in our school. May thy word be blessed for the coming of thy kingdom. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, the established congregations. Remember all thy servants. Remember our theological school. Uphold the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish people. Wilt thou remember all mission work, also our mission field? Wilt thou remember our brother elder, who with the administrator in this week hope to leave for a deputy visit? May it please thee to grant traveling mercies. May it be a profitable visit. And may they be given to hear of the wonderful things of the Lord. We remember our poor country, and we're also in this week in the capital of this province. It is intended to pass a law that the prayers and the warnings of the church may be muzzled, that it shall be against the law concerning the sins of the seventh commandment. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, that the enemies of thy word, that they shall not triumph. Then thou wert also speaking unto us when we hear of the signs of the time, that the persecution is at hand. May we be given much to come on our knees and cry mightily unto thee, that thou may grant unto us and our children a strength to stand for the old truth and for the old ways. O wilt thou remember all in high authority, federally, in this province, the different cities, also our tongue. O wilt thou remember the council. Then by renewal, and then we remember the manifold needs in the midst of us. May it please thee to continue to provide the daily bread for the family circles. Wilt thou uphold and comfort widows, widowers, orphans, and all the mourning ones. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember the sick and afflicted ones, those that have been in the hospital and who may return. O wilt thou grant further healing, and may the callings be sanctified. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, remember difficulties of the mind. O wilt thou grant a prayer for one another. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. O wilt thou keep us and our children under the old truth. We commend unto thee the member under censure. O Lord, grant that repentance while it may yet, and while it can yet. And now in this evening, our Lord, may it please thee to grant fresh oil from above, send help from the sanctuary, and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou remember all the listeners, from the youngest to the oldest. May it be given that they hear not the word of man, but that they may hear the word of the living God, that it may enter into our hearts. Then it shall be an unforgettable and a good evening. Be then a wonder-doing God, and take away everything that could be a hindrance. Wilt thou grant a deep impression that it is all sinned away, that it is all forfeited. But, Lord, thou hast said in thy word unto the house of Israel, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake, but also that thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. May then the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Remember those that could not gather with us, when they may also listen along. Grant the Sabbath day blessing. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 415, the stanzas 8 and 9. Turn thou unto me in mercy, have compassion on my soul. I am sore distressed and lonely, ways of trouble over me roll. And what follows? Psalter 415, the stanzas 8 and 9. beloved congregation, we have heard out of God's holy word in this evening hour that there was a woman which was a sinner. Have we ever become a sinner, a real sinner, a true sinner, a great sinner, even the chiefest of sinners before the Lord? Have we ever come to the place that we thought that there must be no blacker and no greater sinner than me? It does not mean that we had to live in the world, because there is not only the sin against the law, but there is also the sin against love. And this history, oh, what a precious instruction and what precious encouragement for a people that have learned to know themselves as a sinner. And then we have heard it, that woman has heard that Jesus would dine with Simon the Pharisee, and then she has come because of her need, on account of love, and by saving faith, and then she has come behind Jesus, has not spoken, and granted those tokens of love, was the delight for the Master, for Jesus, when he was given to experience a sinner, which he has received from his Father upon his finished meritorial work, that sinner as his dove, oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance is comely. And what do you think, congregation? Would Jesus turn such a one away, that has come that lie weeping at his feet, that has poured out those tokens of love, with that great need, as she was a sinner? Ah, then we know the answer. Oh, are there souls in my midst that have learned with that woman that they are a sinner, that they are the sinner, that they are a great sinner, that they have learned the awful character of sin committed against a holy and a good-doing God? Oh, that are walking upon the face of the earth with the burden of their sins. Oh, what a precious example where this woman has come. And then it is true, Simon the Pharisee did not understand it. But then Jesus, then he has spoken those precious words, that her sins were forgiven, concerning that precious name, with the help of the Lord we hope to speak thereof in this evening hour. Our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 11, the question and answers 29 and 30. Question 29. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is a Savior? Answer, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise, because we ought not to seek and neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. And do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not, for though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds, they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Lord's Day number 11 speaks of the name of Jesus, which means Savior, with three thoughts. In the first place, a needed Savior. In the second place, an all-sufficient Savior. And in the third place, a despised Savior. The name of Jesus, which means Savior, a needed Savior, an all-sufficient Savior, and in the third place, a despised Savior. Over this Lord's Day is written of God the Son. Our 12 articles, the second through the seventh article, that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the divine Trinity. We have heard from Lord's Day number 8, when there was spoken of the Trinity, that therein lies the possibility for sinners to be saved. Because if God was singular, he is so just, so holy, that he can never overlook sin. And that is now the wonder for the church. Because God had a Son, then he has given his only begotten Son, that he may take the sins of his children, bring that sacrifice, glorify and harmonize all the attributes of his Father, and in that way make a way whereby sinners can be saved. Then in this Lord's Day, when it speaks of God the Son, and that precious name of Jesus, it is not only in the divine order, because the Son is the begotten Son of the Father. And then already in Lord's Day number 9, then we have heard it when it spoke of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we consider the preceding Lord's Day, where we have heard the past Lord's Day concerning the advantage of the providence of God, and then such a precious answer, to be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for future things, to trust in the Lord. And then the church, they learn that they must be so ashamed, because they learn, unless it is given from above, that they are such impatient, and as the children of Israel, murmuring people, then they learn of themselves, and know no fruit of this tree forever, The child of God learns that it must all come from above. And then to their bitter sorrow and shame, and then they learn that they are so unthankful. Oh, it is true. And they know of other times when they may be humbled under the goodness of the Lord. And concerning that trust, oh, that awful unbelief. And then concerning the last question and answer, concerning the advantage of the providence of the providence of the Lord explained, and then it is the prayer of the true child of God that they need the pardoning of their sins. Also concerning the providence of the Lord, oh, for a guilty people, for those sinners, and then how precious the name of Jesus becomes. The bride in the Song of Solomon has declared that it is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love thee. And now in this Lord's Day, then there are expressions used that tells us and our children that it is a needed name. Because there is spoken of saving, there is spoken of deliverance, that tells us, congregation, that we are lost. Oh, may it please the Lord in this very hour to impress the reality, what a solemn thing it is to be a human being, that we are born and we shall never cease to exist. We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. The Lord has created our parents as the jewel of creation, given to praise and honor their creator and benefactor. But we in our covenant head Adam, we have taken of that forbidden fruit. We have turned our back upon the Lord. We have come under the curse. We have come under the wrath of God, a just God that demands a perfect obedience. Oh, may it please the Spirit to teach us here in the time what it is to be a lost sinner without God, without Christ, without hope in this world, and traveling to a never-ending eternity. Oh, may it be impressed upon our hearts against whom we have sinned. We have sinned against the highest majesty. We have committed the highest treason. We are rebels. We have turned our back unto the Lord, and we refuse to return. We are lying under His curse. We are lying under His wrath. And therefore the need, oh, we need to be saved. We need to be delivered. And thus when the instructors in this Lord's Day, then they are speaking of two matters closely connected, and yet we may make a difference. Oh, we need to be saved from our sins. We need to learn that our sins, that they have brought about that separation and that breach. And that breach is so great, that is so wide, that it can never be bridged over from our side. Oh, we need to receive an impression of whom the Lord is, that He is so holy, that He is so righteous. He demands perfect obedience. The Lord demands His image back. It is true. That covenant of works, that can never save us, no. That is only possible by grace. But the demand of that covenant still rests upon all of us, that the Lord demands His image back. And therefore we need to be saved. We need to be saved from our sins. Oh, we have missed the mark. May that be impressed upon our hearts. Because young and old, oh, with our mind we know it so well. We have heard those terms. Thomas Boston had said that in his day already it seemed there was a gospel-proof generation that were so used to those terms. But may it please the Lord, by almighty grace, by the loving and by the irresistible work of His Holy Spirit, that the King may shoot arrows of love and arrows of conviction into the hearts of the enemies of the King. Then we shall learn that we are lost. Then we shall be given to believe that we are traveling to eternity. Then we shall be given to believe that we have no continuing city. Then we shall be given to believe that a day shall come that we shall stand before our judge. Then we learn the greatness of our sins, and then it shall be with that woman of whom we have read together. Then we become a sinner. Then we become a lost sinner. Then we become a crying and a weeping sinner. Then we are given to cry unto heaven whether there is a way for such a sinner as I am, and that have sinned against all the commandments of the God of the Lord, the first, the second commandment, all sins of commission, sins of omission, public sins, private sins. Then the sins cannot be numbered. And congregation, when that takes place, then that people go burdened over the earth. And then they are given to mourn. And then they become poor. And then they start to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they learn that they have none. To be saved from our sins, young and old, be now honest. Has that become our question? Has that become our burden? Have we learned the greatness of our sins? Have we learned what it is to be lost? Have we learned that we need to be saved? And if we are not saved by grace, then to be eternally lost. And then it is too late forever and ever. But in this evening, all for sinners, that a name may be declared that can save to the uttermost. It is true, in the exercises of that people, then it can be the question whether it is possible for such a sinner, and a sinner still, in the beginning, they hope to become a better sinner, but now to learn a sinner still. But we have heard from that woman, what a beautiful example. And Christ has said in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father has given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. But now in this Lord's day, there is spoken of one who saveth, but also one who delivereth. Because that true people of God, they do not only need to be saved from punishment, but they have such a vehement desire to be delivered in the full extent of the word. To be delivered also from the dominion, from the power, from the love, and from the power of Satan. By nature, then we are a prisoner of Satan. We have come under his bonds. We are his willing followers. But when the Lord works by his Spirit, and then many a temptation, but then that people needs to be delivered. Thus a needed name for a people that need to be saved from their sins and to be delivered from the power of the prince of darkness. Our second thought, an all-sufficient Savior. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Then in this evening hour, then we hope to speak a few words. And who was able to declare the riches of that precious name of Jesus, which is his ointment poured forth? Because in the 12 articles and in our catechism, And then there are four names of the Savior that hope to be discussed. The name of Jesus Christ, only begotten Son and our Lord. In the Scriptures, there are approximately 200 names ascribed to the mediator. Maybe children, you can remember what a mediator is. That is one that stands in between two parties to bring them together. And in the way of salvation, then it is a poor, lost, wretched sinner and a holy and a just God. And now that mediator, we have heard it in Lord's Day number 6, that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Jesus, that is the personal name of the Savior, Christ. And that is his official name, to make that clear to the children. Let us think of one of the kings of Judah, King Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah, that was the personal name of Hezekiah, but his official title, that was king. And now in this evening hour, then we are called to consider that precious name of Jesus. When we consider that name, that name has been given by the Father already from eternity in the Council of Peace. I read in Philippians 2, the verses 9 and 10, where God has also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in the heavens and in things in earth. Then that name has been given by the angel Gabriel to Mary in Luke 1, when that young virgin has received the visit and where the angel has declared that she would receive a son and that his name would be called Jesus. And then the angel has also spoken to Joseph. Oh, for a Joseph, he has come in such a trial concerning his betrothed Mary. And we read in Matthew 1, being a just man, that he thought to put her away. But I read, it is true, at the moment, the child of God many times cannot see it. Then they think the trial is too great, too heavy. But the Lord has promised in his word that he will not suffer his people to be tempted, that they are able to bear. And then during that night watch, we read it in Matthew 1, verse 21, that the angel has come to Joseph and said that he must take Mary to be his wife, for that which was conceived of her was of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Then we have learned from Reverend Hallenbrook concerning this precious name, and when there is asked what the meaning was of Jesus, that a Savior, that was one that saveth from the greatest evil and that bringest to the supreme good. And the greatest evil, that is sin. And the supreme good, that is that blessed communion with the Lord. When we consider this precious name of Jesus, what a misused name that it is. When we think of the cursing upon this earth, I hope we never do that, congregation. Never use the name of the Lord in vain. I hope we are kept. And when we are called upon to work in environments where that precious name is misused, then may we be given to ask the Lord that He may grant the opportunities and the freedom that we may lovingly warn our neighbor where it pains us when that precious name is misused. But when we think of our prayers, congregation, then we close them in Jesus' name. How often do we really think of the meaning of those words? That the Father, that the Lord, that He can only hear our humble and our poor prayers. Many times our prayers, they are not worthy the name of prayers, but the church knows of times when they may be given to humbly beseech. And what a privilege it is when a soul may truly have a deep impression that indeed it is all undeserved, that the Lord can never do it because of anything in us, but that He can only do it for the sake of that precious Savior. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior, because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. Do you hear the warmth? Then the instructor is given to speak in the plural. And who was that? Us. That is the people of God. But when the church may be given to experience it, and the further they may be led, the more they may be given to taste of the good things of the Lord, then it becomes the desire that all people, the whole congregation, the boys and girls, the youth, the middle-aged, the elderly ones, may be included in that us. Because if we are not saved through that precious mediator, by the work of the Holy Spirit, then we are lost. May that be impressed. We are not going lost, congregation, when we are unconverted, but we are lost at this very moment, and only one step between us and death. May the prayers be multiplied in the latter days of the earth, where the judgments are hanging low upon us, close to persecution. We have mentioned in prayer, the plan is on Tuesday, in our capital, in the city of Edmonton, to pass a law that it is forbidden to pray or to speak against the sins of the seventh commandment, that it becomes punishable. Do we then see that persecution is upon us? It is true. The King at the right hand of the Father, He still reigneth. And because we read in this answer, because He saveth us and delivereth us, that is not only in the past tense, but that is in the present. That is a continual work. Then He has not only delivered His church, but the King in His kingly office. Then He shall watch over His church. We have heard it in the past Lord's Day, that without the will of the Lord, that not even a hair, it is mentioned in the first Lord's Day, concerning that only comfort, that without the will of the Heavenly Father, and not a hair can fall from the head. Ah, blessed portion of the people of God, because he saveth us and delivereth us from all of our sins. To that end, what a heavy task has been laid upon that precious Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, that he has taken. Oh, how willing he was to save his church. What a love. Where can such a love be found? Because how must that church now be saved? Because the Father in his justice demands that there is a perfect obedience and that there is a perfect satisfaction, young and old. We do not become partaker of the work of the Savior. What shall you do with your sins? We can try to forget about them, but the Lord does not forget. And I read in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sins shall find you out. And now that precious Jesus, as the willing servant of the Father, then he was willing to leave his Father's throne, his Father's house, to come upon this earth to assume our human nature. Then that precious Jesus, he was willing to take all the sins of his people upon him. He was willing to appear before his Father. Oh, see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. See him in Gabbatha. See him on Calvary's cross. And then he was willing to suffer. Then he was willing to die. Thus for Jesus to save and deliver his people, and then we speak of his act of obedience. And then he had to perfectly obey the law. If he was a sinner himself, he could not be Jesus. But he also had to obey that law for his people, because the Lord has said, do this and thou shalt live. But also in the way of his passive obedience, that he had to suffer and to die, because he saveth and delivereth. He has cried out, it is finished. Nothing can, nothing shall, and nothing need to be added. And that is now the wonder of salvation. Because congregation, if anything had to be added, would be eternally lost. But now the preciousness of grace, where the Father has given his Son as a free gift, but now to save his church, and not only to merit that salvation, but also to apply it by the work of the Holy Spirit, because he saveth us and delivereth us from all of our sins. And now it is necessary, oh many, because the work of the Savior that is typified, not only to hear. If we think of Noah's Ark, a beautiful example of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be saved. But then it is necessary for that people, the family of Noah, to enter that ark. Think of the manslayer in Numbers 35. Then it was a wonder that there was a city of refuge. But then such a one had to enter that city. And now I hear a soul say, that is now my question. Because how do I now become partaker of that precious Son of God? That is by the work of the Holy Spirit, and therefore souls who have learned that are sinners, beg the Lord much, not to tell the Lord how it must go, but beg the Lord much that he may take you by heart and hand, and that it may be granted And that was such an unbearable need. Oh, as that woman was still a sinner. She was not a cleansed sinner. No, she was still a sinner. It is true. It is clear, a sinner that had repented. But the Lord does not save because of our repentance. But now to come as a poor sinner at his feet, let us sing. Of Psalter 319, the first three stanzas. Give thanks and praise to God above, for everlasting is his love. Praise him, ye saints, your Savior, praise, forever good in all his ways. And what follows? 319, the first three stanzas. The name of Jesus, which means Savior, a needed Savior, an all-sufficient Savior, and now thirdly, a despised Savior. Then we read because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other congregation. Wherein are we seeking happiness? Because we all desire that we may have a life, not so many cares, and that there may be much happiness. Then there are many false Christs, Christ has spoken thereof, and those false Christs, they speak of deliverance from the consequences of sin, but they do not speak to be delivered from self. And now in the true work of the Lord, and not that the consequences and the troubles can weigh us down, and we may ask the Lord to help, but for the true child of God, then the most bitter thing is sin and to miss God. And then the instructors have further asked, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior that is stressed in this Lord's Day, that there is only one Savior, that is the God-given Savior. When the apostles John and Peter in Acts 12, when they were brought before the council after the healing of a lame man, and then they were given to speak those precious words, neither is there, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else. Thus then the instructors are asking three questions, and that is in the context of one question. Whether Jesus is now a complete Savior, or that he is only a partial Savior, and that is stressed in the answer of question number 30. And now in our minds, even if I would ask in this evening hour our boys and girls concerning Jesus, then I think you would tell me that he is the only Savior and that he saves sinners. But now in the way of experience, and then maybe in the beginning of that question, the welfare of saints, maybe then you think in this evening hour that is a question for the time of the Reformation. That is a question directed at the Roman Catholic Church, because the Church teaches their people that they need the intercession of those saints, and that there are saints that have so many good works that they even have to spare. But also in the midst of the Church, also in the life of the children of God, then can there not be a seeking of the opinion of a respected child of God? And what a laying of hands there can be, that a soul is built up with frames and emotions, and that there is not pointed, oh, it is true, oh, what a wisdom is necessary to deal with seeking souls, not to discourage them, but on the other hand, not to give rest outside of Lord's Day number 11 concerning that precious name of Jesus. Do we not read in Acts 10, of Peter and Cornelius, that Cornelius has also fallen down before Peter. But then there is further ask of themselves. When the Lord works, when we become a sinner, when we are given to experience what it is to be lost, what it is to be under the wrath of a just God, when we learn that the Lord demands a perfect obedience, and the Lord draws that people by the cords of love, and then they receive a love for the Lord, for His word, for His law, for His day, for His institutions, and for His people. And then that people, oh, as a fruit of our deep fallen Adam, and then we are so bound up in that covenant of works, and that people in the workhouse, it is true, it is on account of that love that is shed abroad in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. But then what is seeking there is of salvation outside of that only name given under heaven, outside of that precious name, Jesus, that people, that they try to satisfy the Lord with their tears, with their repentance, and with their works, and secretly so please the Lord, that they may receive the favor of the Lord. But it can never be, and now it is so necessary and so profitable, that seeking souls, that they may not only be led into the sin against the law, but also the sin against the gospel. I have read many years, has taken place many years ago, that there was a Scottish minister, and there was a young man who was very burdened with his sins, that the Lord has begun that good work, and that he needed to know how to be saved, because he was so troubled with his sins. And then that Scottish minister asked, concerning his sins, oh, then alas, in his former life, he has been in places where we do not belong, and then he has confessed. And the Scottish minister says, but is there more? And then he was given to declare something of his heart. Of course, everything is not to be fit to be said. But then that Scottish minister said, there is still a greater sin in your life, and that must become the greatest sin, that you are rejecting that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And the Lord has blessed that instruction, that young man, in the early days, there was not so much laying on of hands, but many times a soul received homework, and they were brought in the need, and then those words of that Scottish minister were used, that he was given to see that with all his efforts and with all his working and with his repentance, that he was rejecting that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Welfare of saints of themselves or anywhere else, answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and savior. And when the instructors say they boast of him in words, yet in deeds, then we can mention 2 points. That people in the workhouse, then by their working, then they are actually denying that Jesus is a complete and a perfect Savior. But then we may also, when those words are used, especially in our day, that there is a Christendom that speaks of great things, but by their works, because Christ has said in the Sermon on the Mount at the end, by their fruit ye shall know them. Thus in this answer, then there is spoken clearly and vividly against the Arminian. Oh, the Arminian, the remonstrant. It is true, an Arminian, they have spoken of election. Oh, they shall speak of grace. But what does the Arminian speak concerning this precious Savior? Then the Arminian, when you come down to the point, then they are speaking of a powerful and a rich sinner and a poor and a powerless Savior, because the Arminian says that Jesus has come to save his people and that he wills to save his people, but it depends upon the will of a poor lost sinner whether they are willing to accept that salvation. Ah, then we see it, what a God dishonoring doctrine it is. And therefore, our fathers at the Synod of Dort, they have dealt with this matter. And now we must close. The precious name of Jesus, he is a complete Savior. He has cried out, it is finished. He has given himself for his church in the way of meriting and in the way of application. And now, young and old, let me ask you, where is your journey to? Oh, have you become a sinner? Have you become a real sinner? Have you become a great sinner? Have you become a lost sinner? And that is learned that you cannot save yourself. Oh, young and old, we need the work of the Savior applied by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Oh, when we are still serving and living in the world, then we are in a very fearful condition, because when we read the Scriptures, tell me, worldling, where is there a promise in your favor? But on the other hand, also decent church people need to be saved. They need to become sinners. Oh, do we still have trouble with these things? Are there still convictions? Are there still times that we are restless? But young and old, more needs to take place. We need, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we need to become a sinner. We need to become the sinner. We need to become a lost sinner. Ah, we need to learn that we can never save ourselves. We need to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God, O Christ. He has said unto his disciples in John 14, verse 1, ye let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, those precious words. Oh, for poor and needy people, we have heard it in this morning. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow as calves of the stall. The apostle has written to the Hebrews in Hebrews 7 verse 25 that he is able to save to the uttermost that cometh to God by him. Oh, through that precious Savior, free in sovereign grace, then the church is given to confess what I read in Romans 11, verse 36, of him, through him, and to him be all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, who was able to declare the riches of that precious name, Jesus. The apostle has written to the church, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Ach, Lord, may it please thee to convert us and our children, as thou hast converted all thy people. There is still room in the sheepfold. And may we oftentimes be brought in our knees. May we be given to mightily cry unto thee, and that many jewels among young and old may be added to the meritorial crown of thy dear Son, Lord. And thou hast granted that we may have another Sabbath day, and not so many left in this year, impress the shortness of life upon all our hearts and the need to be saved. O wilt thou grant strength and health that in the day of tomorrow we may take up the labors which thou hast laid upon our shoulders. Remember the mothers in the home with the children, the fathers at work, the children at school. O wilt thou remember on the way. O wilt thou keep from harm and danger. O wilt thou keep from sin and from temptation. Then once more we commend the meetings that are planned for this week. Lord, may there also be a people at home on their knees. O wilt thou remember us with thy rich favor, and that thou bearest unto thy people. O in the latter days of the earth, may thou yet do a great work amongst us, because thy Son has come upon this world to seek and to save that are lost. O wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings, keep us under thy kind care and protection. O wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins in speaking and in listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 162, the two stanzas. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved. And what follows, 162, the two stanzas. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.